This evening we have two speakers. The first is a woman I've been interested in her story for a long time. I read about it in one of Arvin Gibson's books a number of years ago. Her name is Lucinda Pottle. Both she and her husband had near-death experiences. I will let Lucinda introduce herself and her experience, and then we'll have a question and answer period.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Lucinda Pottle. My experience happened when I was about 11, 12 years old. How this occurred was my cousins and relatives, we decided we were going swimming. We went to our parents and said, "Can we go swimming?" And they said, "Well, none of us are driving you. You're going to have to walk." It was about a mile away, and for us children, you know, miles, nothing. Right now, at my age, a mile seems a long way. But situation wound up being, by the way, I lived in California, and it was up in Bountiful. We got to the swimming pool, and when we got in there, it's signs all over says, "Swim at your own risk, no lifeguard on duty." And I'm thinking, okay, because I'm a good swimmer. So we got into the swimming pool at the shallow end, and we're playing around, and then we worked our way, you know, further down where the diving board was. And I said to my cousins and family, I said, "Hey, why don't we have a race? Lucinda, you're a good swimmer. You'll beat us all. We don't want to do that." Okay. "You swim across, get halfway, and then I'll do the butterfly." And so they started, and they got halfway, and so I pushed off doing my butterfly. And I got just a little bit past the middle of the swimming pool, and I got a cramp in one calf. And then I got a cramp in the thigh that had the cramp in the calf. And pretty soon I had cramps in both legs and the thighs and the calf. And I'm trying to rub them out because that's what I understood we were supposed to do. I'm bobbing up and down trying to get some air and going under the water trying to rub it out. And every time I'd get rid of one, then the other one, and then as soon as I go back to massage back and forth, you know, it was just, forget it. It was meant to be. And I'm reaching out for my sister, my cousins, and they're reaching for me, and they're not a good swimmer, so they'd be drowned too, probably, if they tried to save me. I became so tired of fighting to live. I just kept going up and down and grabbing some air, and the next time I grabbed a mouthful of water and I went under and I said, "I'm going to die." And I knew I was going to die, and therefore I gave it up. My will to live, I gave it up, and I stopped fighting. As I did that, now if you notice, sometimes I get kind of strange, you know, when I'm talking, I'm reliving it. And so I kind of go through some of the motions in that. I closed my eyes. It was so peaceful. And I went into the fetus position. And I could just feel me separate my spirit from my body. It was floating. You know, I could just feel it. It was so peaceful and quiet. And I just felt so good not to be in pain. When I opened my eyes, I was looking down. I was probably about 12 feet up or something, and I saw my body in the water, people along the side, and I said, "What am I doing down here, or down there? I'm up here." And you know what? I go, "Oh, well, didn't care. I like where I was at better than down there." And so I was surrounded in darkness, and I turned to my left, and I looked over this way, and I saw a light. And just like a homing pigeon, you know, he knows where to go. Well, I knew where to go. I just went there. When I got to that light, I could hear the most beautiful sounds. And don't ask me. I can't tell you if it was singing, a harps, music or what. All I know, it was just so beautiful to hear. Then I moved along, and everything was so white and almost crystally. I wanted to stay there and continue through like this misty-like, crystally-like cloud. And a voice came to my head, and it was a man. And he said, "You have to go back." Well, I was a very passive, quiet, suppressed 12-year-old. I probably was more like a 6-year-old. I just wasn't knowledgeable about a lot of things. Anyway, so I said in my mind, "I don't want to go." And the voice said, "You have to go back." And I said, "Please let me stay." And he says, "No, you have to go back." I said, "Let me stay." Who am I arguing with the Supreme Being? I mean, you don't argue with God. You know, he's got the whole power in his one hand, right? Finger. And so I saw this, like, doorway that was, like, clouded over. And I knew, don't ask me how I knew that if I get through that doorway or over to that spot, I would not have to go back. And so I lunged forward to go back. And dang, if he didn't shove me back in my body. Because I was down there again, being drug out in pain and agony, coughing up and screaming in the pain. Well, I couldn't tell anybody what happened, because I didn't know what happened to me. I didn't know where I was. So I went ahead, and for years I kept this suppressed. I never said anything to anyone. And then the time came when I began to have dreams that would come true, and premonitions, knowing that people were going to die. I started fighting to go to sleep because I didn't want to dream of these dreams, you know, people dying. Anyway, so I told my mother at the time, and she says, "Oh, and I also found out that I had a certain gift that if I took an object of someone, I could tell their past. And if I did it long enough, I could tell their future." And so anyway, I told my mother this, and she says, "Oh, Lucinda, don't say anything to anyone. This is the work of the devil." You have to think how far back that is, and you know, this was unknown. I didn't know what happened to me. All I know is that these weird things are going on with me, so I share them with my mom. And so I didn't say anything for years, but it was like driving me crazy. And I used to play games with people on telling their past, present, and future. And so I did it to this one lady, and I knew that she was going to die in a car crash. And I told a friend, and I was working at this time, so we were laid off. Then when we were called back, I said, "Well, where's Pinky?" "She died in a car crash, just like you said." I'm beginning to have a hard time, and so I just kind of sought out shrinks. Most of us do. Some of us that have these experiences do. And the shrink said, "Coincidence." And I told him about one particular thing that was going to happen, about two skiers were going to fall through a crevice and be on the ledge, and the man broke his leg, and described everything to him. About 4 days. And I said, "Well, did you hear about those people?" And he said, "Yeah." I says, "Well, isn't that what I told you just a few days ago?" He says, coincidence, coincidence. Another non-believer. Well, who was going to help me? Who on earth was going to help me? I went on through life with all this gobbledygook going on and not realizing how depressed I was. And then I heard on TV about IONS. And I go, man, I got to go to it. And it was this particular night. It was at Cottonwood Hospital. So I got dressed, went down there. I was so excited. You know, look, there's help. There's possible help. There's other people like me. And so I went out for the venture. And I got there. And I felt the warmth and the love of peace and comfort. Because I realized when I heard the speaker, I was not alone. I was not alone. And there was someone who believed me, who believed what was happening to me. And they told me about psychiatrist that works with some of the people, and he works on the board. I went to him, and I told him, ditto what I told you. And he says, and I begged him, hypnotize me and take these things away. I did not want to have these gifts. I want them gone. They have caused such a life miserable for me. And he wouldn't do it. And I saw him a few more times, and I went to IONS, and I realized that I'm dealing with this no matter what, because I realized that I've been blessed and given gifts. Gifts that help people, and gifts that can do things for people. I'm grateful for that. I was on the board here for a while. I have been a better person in here because I've accepted myself for who I am. I think I'll share another incident. I've had dreams about my nephew who was 11 years old. And I had this dream three times. And everything works in threes. My mother took my nephew to like a train station. And he had his little suitcase. He says, Grandma, where are you going? She says, you have to go alone. And he says, but I want you to go with me. And she says, no, you have to go alone. And so she waited and watched. And two men came and took him. And I knew that he was going to pass away. He was going to die. And I knew it was going to be in 3 days. But he was in Europe with his father and my parents. And for everything I was worth, I couldn't get a hold of anyone to let them know that there was danger. Well, I didn't stop that one. He died. Well, after he died, he came to me and told me that he wanted to be with the family, and I was very close to my nephew. Anyway, he's at peace and he's at rest now. That's good. Another incident that happened to me was I was feeling the Spirit of the Lord, and I was feeling so good. It's a high. I'm not kidding you. You just get into a high, and you feel so wonderful, and you feel good inside, like I'm getting now. I went home, and I really didn't want to go home because I had a lot of problems with my teenagers. I had a lot of problems with my husband. And I thought, I got to go into the real world. Please, Lord, let them be in bed. I don't want to lose this joy and this high that I'm on. So I went home, and guess what? They were all in bed. I was so happy. You know? maintain my peace. And so I just went to bed just feeling so good. It's almost like a drunk, you know. And I felt so good. And I went to sleep with this glorious feeling. And in that sleep, I had either a dream or a vision, I'll tell you. I had dreamed that I was walking on marble floor. My daughter was lagging behind. And I said, hurry up, Rhonda, hurry up. And she just fell behind. And I was in such a hurry. And I saw, coming up some steps, I saw this great beam of light. All of a sudden, I got a headache. Oh man, I got a headache. A voice said, it'll pass. Well, it didn't. It got worse. And by that time, I fell to my knees, holding my head. My head, it hurts. And the voice said, it will pass. It got so bad, I thought my head was going to explode. And I said, my head, it hurts. And the voice said, it will pass. I thought this guy was cuckoo who was telling me this. You know, it ain't passing, it's still hurting, getting worse. So, anyway, I fell to my knees, my hands covering my face. And the next thing I knew, there was a hand that went on my shoulder. And a voice said, Lucinda. And I opened my eyes and I was surrounded with this glorious, glorious light all around. I went and I turned and I looked up and I said, Father, Heavenly Father. And he repeated to me, if they repent, great shall be their glory, and all that I have shall be theirs. And I stood up, and we both walked up to a small hill. And he says, there's two paths. Which one shall we take? Well, I knew this one was a bad boy, and this one I didn't know very much about. And he said, let us go down this path. Well, I knew that was like Sodom and Gomorrah. And I said, no, I don't want you to be embarrassed. And dang, as soon as I said it, I knew I was wrong. And I said, no, I don't want to be embarrassed. He already knew what was down there. And he says, for these are my children, and I know what they do. If they repent, great shall be their glory, and what I have shall be theirs. Then he took me over this other path and hill. And I know he counseled me in things. Sometimes I come up with things that I don't even know where I get them from. But I know that this was something that he had told me at that moment. That was the end of the dream. Now, I have met tremendous obstacles in my life, many of them. I've gone through husbands like water. just a couple of them, but I thought I'd get a squirm out of you. I've had one that tried to kill me, another one that took everything I had, and my kids and I were out in the street. And these were things that I had to overcome, along with a... Ooh, I'm going to shock you if I say this. A couple of rapes, very bad, and a mental person that tried to murder me with a knife and strangulations. And had I not had these experiences of my near death, and then had that closeness within myself and the love, I may not have been a stable person like I, well, yes, my husband. I don't think she's stable, but I'm more stable now than I ever have been, okay? I am thankful for good experiences, okay? Even dying. I am thankful for that. Those other things, you know, I could have done without them throughout my whole life. But they're just part of what helped me to overcome, because I had to learn to forgive them. Because that's what it's told me. Love everyone. Forgive. And do not judge. Three most important things. You might go up there and be, you know, on the other side, you might be Einstein. Well, I know the relativity of, you know. Well, how far is that going to get you if you don't know how to love, forgive, and not judge? Those are hard things to learn, isn't it? Beats the old science books, I'll tell you that. That's pretty much my experiences. Questions? You can't have one. Yes.
What year span? You started at 12?
Yes. I was 12 years old when I had my near death, and then throughout my life, different things happened.
I mean, into your 20s, midlife, or what?
Well, let's say 63, all through there, different things have happened, and I haven't really said everything.
This love, forgive, and do not judge. Now, is that something you picked up in the light, or is that something you picked up on your the impressions you received later on, or both?
In the light.
So did you have a life review, or?
No. I think the only reason why I saw all white and glittery and stuff like that was because I was a small brain kid.
Didn't have that much to review?
Nope. I was quiet and a good girl.
How was the father? Can you describe a little bit?
She wants to know what he looks like. Okay. They say that if you're Buddhist, you'll see Buddha, because he is the Almighty and he can change into any form that he wants. But to me, my father was probably 6 foot three, and he had broad shoulders. I mean, if you're going to hold the world there, you know, you got to have broad shoulders. And he had almost like a farmer. You imagine a farmer, big shoulders, you know, and it's big man, not fat, perfect. He's dressed in white with a robe, long robe on both sides of him, in white around him. Oh, and when I looked down, I was in white too. Not just the light around us. And the most amazing and wonderful, how could I forget this thing, when I looked up and saw his face. He's clean shaven. And his hair was here. It was all white. When I looked up into his face, the love that came from him was so tremendous and so great that I wanted to be part of him. I wanted to be in him, because that love was so just indescribable. And it surrounded us, and it went through me, and it just glowed. And the love that waits for us there is indescribable. I cannot describe.
Did he have a crown or something?
No. He just had white hair. A full head of hair.
I was just wondering if you've experienced anything with anybody close to you that has died has enhanced your abilities.
When my mother passed away, I could feel her hand touch me. In fact, a lot of you, if you ever feel something stroking your hair like this, okay, That is a loved one from the other side letting you know that they love you and that they're there. Sometimes you'll feel a light pressure. You don't know where it's from. It's just a light pressure on your body. Could be on your arm, your shoulder, anywhere on your body. That is a spirit that's letting you know that they are there. Don't think I'm crazy, but this is what I've learned. My mother's done it, seeing other spirits. They say it's your spiritual eyes that you can see spirits. I'll tell you something kind of funny. Not really funny, but it was to me. Sometimes I'd get up at night because I had insomnia. I looked down at the floor and, oh my gosh, my house was full of spiritual animals. They were. Everything on this earth has a spirit. Everything. So I would reach down and just stroke the cats. How does that grab you? I couldn't touch them, but I knew they were there. I don't know if that was part of my...
Do you feel the death of a really close loved one then does enhance their spiritual abilities, whatever you call it?
Do you know that everybody can have this? Everybody is capable of seeing spirits and having heal people and whatever else there is. Their mind can do. We don't use half of this puppy. We don't use this part of our brain, okay? And for some reason, some things, but a lot of people who have near-death experiences will get these seeing spirits and having wonderful things happen to them. But it's like I've got a foot in hell and another one in heaven.
So all of the trials and tribulations you've had in your life, you've never been able to foresee them, but you can always foresee others.
Mm-hmm.
Were you ever able to stop one of the premonitions?
Yeah, I did. At the time, I had a boyfriend, and he went on a Mormon mission, and I had a dream that he was going to be out on a horse and jump a creek and hit his head on a rock and die. And so I called his mom, and she says, "Oh, there's no way. He won't come home early. No way." I go, "Okay." Guess what? He came home early. And I called her again, and I told her what happened. And so she kind of took heed. So she kept him there, fed him his favorite meal or whatever. And his dad took his horse, and he went out on the range, and there was that river, and there was that rock, and he jumped it, and he broke his arm because he was a taller man. So I feel I stopped that.
Just wondering when, like you said, your Heavenly Father showed you these two paths that he passed, he said, on the Son they repent. Who was those? Was he talking about, like your children, for one thing, or just other people? And also, do you think he was showing you, like, your vision of the gateway to heaven and hell?
I kind of took it personal, my children. It could have meant society, but that's not for me to know or to judge. I just took it personal pertaining to my family. My girls had to straighten out their life. Pardon? Afterlife?
It was showing you heaven and hell. Do you think that's
what I think so, yeah. Sounds more fun in hell, doesn't it? If you're that way, I mean. I'll stick to the boring path. It's much calmer. Doesn't pay much, but it's a lot calmer.
You said in part of your life you were backing off from other people because you felt more alone than they wouldn't listen. Do you feel you've gotten back to that more in the last few years of getting about telling people your permanent? Do you feel more comfortable with it in the last
I think that if I knew the person, or if it was really bad, I would tell them. I'm more open now with this, and it's thank goodness to Ian that I am. Because for 45, 46 years, I kept all this inside, and it just festered. I mean, imagine having a big bug inside of you eating you up for 45 years. And finally, when I puked them out, you know, and I got to say what I wanted to say, I started feeling better and better and better.
What did your nephew die from?
My brother, at this time was in the circus. He was the world's greatest trapeze artist. And he had rented an extra trailer hooked onto his truck and trailer. And for his son. So he went in the trailer, propane is what was heating the place, and my brother made sure that the propane was, you know, turned away, but the wind changed in the night, and he died from that asphyxiation.
It sounds like you had some experiences that would be very difficult to give forgiveness. Do you have any comments about how you worked through, or were you able to get to a point of absolute forgiveness for those that transgressed?
That's the problem. Thinking and pondering about the offenses that people have done to you. I say, okay, that's them. I do not keep thinking and pondering on it. I have to let it go. And each day that you stop yourself from pondering and thinking about it, that's when you will grow, and you will become a better person. You might even find out that you're loved or something like that. You might love that sucker next door that, you know, set off the bomb in your backyard.
When you have dreams and premonitions, do they sometimes not make sense, and you don't exactly know what's going to happen, but you know something's going to happen, and then you'll see it on the news?
No, I know it's going to happen. Okay. It's not like hit and miss. I know it. You know, I was thinking about when she says, how can Buddha, you know, God change into Buddha, whatever. You have to remember, God created the universe, everything, you know, our minds are not as expanded as his, and so forth. So he can change into anything he wants. You know, he can be happy, he can be sad, he can be mean, he can be mad. But, no, he's a loving God. Okay, and now, I'm up here because my husband's a little shy about speaking in public. And I'm going to tell you about his experience.
She's good with the whole thing, huh?
Well, get up here.
I was pulling a U-Haul from Phoenix. And it was just outside Phoenix, 10:30 at night. And it's past Bell Highway, and there's a divided highway there. And on one side, there's a bank probably 50 foot high and probably the same distance away. And I was pulling this U-Haul trailer, got hooked up the day before. It was about 10:30 at night. And I was doing speed limit about 75 almost, and I had a big Chrysler New Yorker. I was pulling one of the bigger trailers that U-Haul had. And all of a sudden, that car, the back end, like someone picked it up and just started whipping it like a weight nothing. And the car got thrown in the ditch. The trailer came unhooked and turned upside down in the middle of the freeway, just over a crest of the hill. And so I got out of the car and I said to my wife, I gotta keep people away from it because if someone hits it, it'll kill everyone in the car, you know. So I went out there and I started to proceed to maybe flag people away from it, but it was so dark. There was no lights or nothing out there. And this one car came up for us, so a couple of young fellas from Flagstaff, from the college up there, and they said, well, we'll help you. And so we talked for a second there, and all of a sudden we heard this car coming. And I mean, it was screaming. It was probably no speed limit. And they says, well, it ain't going to stop. So they says, well, we're getting out of here. So they ran that way, and I said, well, I'm going this way. I thought I picked the best route. And I didn't even know the car hit me. But it picked me up in the air. My wife said I looked like a rag doll going through the air. And kids watched everything. And it threw me about 50 foot up, probably almost as high as the roof of the house almost. And the only thing I can remember when that car hit me, I didn't even know the car touched me. It just knocked me right through oblivion, I guess. And then it looked like I was going past the stars at a million miles an hour. They were just flashing by me. And I said, wow, I feel real light, just like a feather, you know, like there's no pain or nothing. And I says, got thinking, I says, my very words were, my God, I can't go yet, I got too much to do. And all of a sudden, I was back in my body. I didn't even know I came back in there, and opened my eyes, and this highway patrolman was looking over me. And he says, well, what are you doing here? You were dead for 20 minutes. I said, well, I'm here now, and I need my wallet out of my back pocket because my butt hurts. He said, well, I ain't touching you. I said, well, if you don't get the damn thing out, I will. So my wife says, well, I think it's going to be all right. He's starting to cuss. So he says, there's an ambulance standard waiting for you. He says, I played one that was dropping someone off in the Phoenix, and they're coming right up now to put you in the thing, you know, how you're back. So they took me back into town. They took x-rays. Well, it wasn't even a bone broke. And I was laying there on the hospital bed, and this doctor came in, he was Rorty or someone. I just bought a brand new pair of cowboy boots too. And he started to pull them off. I said, hey, why don't you just cut them off? He says, these boots look pretty nice and new. He says, I don't want to ruin them for you. So he pulled them off. And that hurt, and that was about it. About 3 months, I went through from my waist down to my toes, and I mean, it was black as this. They were just stone black, and you know, I think it broke every blood vessel from my waist down to my toe. And then I had the elders give me a blessing. And then everything started to clear up, was turning yellow and orange, all different colors. And I couldn't get out of bed, and when I did, oh man, it did hurt. And I had to get around crawling on my elbows because I couldn't walk. I guess I could have owned a U-Haul if I wanted to, because my father-in-law was a member of the CIA, and he went back and he talked to these people, and he said that they hooked it up wrong, you know. But they paid for everything, all the hospital stuff that was being used. And I'm just glad no one was hurt hitting the trailer, so the police kept everyone away from it. And that was about it. So,
any questions?
Don't remember anything while you were out?
Don't remember nothing. Just being in space and feeling light as a feather and didn't have no pain. But when I shot back, man, it really hurt, you know. And about a year and a half ago, I had open heart surgery. That hurt. So, they had me out for 6 hours, giving me a poor bypass. So. That's about it. So, hope we didn't waste your time.
I'm glad everything got straightened out. You know, so.
I was just going to ask if you've had any experiences since. Like any abilities, you know, any, you know, being able to sense things, or if he's had anything since that's happened.
Oh, you always kind of have extra senses when you come back, and as you go along in life, they develop. And if you don't use your gifts, you lose them. And it's hard to get them back.
Do you and people who have this similar experiences feel like that the reason that they have them and came back was so that they could share them with others, or is it just for your benefit?
I think at the time it happened to me, it was for my benefit to be educated and grow. But now it's more open, because a lot of people were criticized, just like I was, you're crazy, take a pill, you know, and stuff like that. But now it's more open, and I think a lot of people are being educated. And I'm not afraid of death, but I'll tell you what, I don't like dying. That's where the pain is. So,
Didn't you have some assignment? It seems like, as I recall,
Your
mother or somebody wanted you to do something over here for them.
Yeah. Oh, goodness, you did remind me of that. I had a dream. At that dream, it was my grandmother who passed away. I loved this grandmother dearly. You know, she was my world. I lived with her for a while, my brother and I did, and she was the only one, her and my aunt, were the only ones that ever showed us love while we were growing up. Oh, well, anyway, won't go into that. So about 10, 15 years ago, I was asleep, and she comes to me in a dream, and she says, "Lucinda, we're waiting." And I saw all these faces. I knew what she meant. And the next morning I woke up and I said, "Oh no, this is the last thing I want to do. Genealogy." I did not want to go there. So I started out and, you know, I thought, oh, this is going to be a waste of my time. I didn't know one thing how to do it. Anyway, I learned and got things together, and then word got out to my family. Everybody wants a copy. Well, I've got it this thick now, so, you know, what do you want to, who's paying for it? I'm getting tired of, you know, doing the bills here. But anyway, so I completed that, my grandmother and a few others. And she came back to me again in a dream, and she hugged me, and she said, thank you so much for doing the genealogy.
I keep reading that in our lifetimes we have 5 exits at any which time we can choose to go or stay. Have you heard that?
No, but find me one and I'll be gone. Not when I'm standing there fighting with God to stay. I mean, you know, He didn't want me to go. I didn't have a choice. I did not have a choice. Some people are asked, do you want to stay or do you want to go? And, of course, those who stay, we don't hear about them, but those who, you know, come back, you know, they tell us. But, you know, a lot of people have different experiences, and as far as I know, these are the standards that I've heard, and I've heard a lot of NDE stories and read a lot of them.
I want to thank Lucinda.